Welcome to the Strong Girl Podcast, a podcast for and about strong women and how they overcame the things that once made them feel weak. Join me, your host, Samantha Russo, as I discuss everything from mindset to physical health with guests that will surely inspire and motivate you. There will be laughs, there will be tears, and maybe a few F-bombs, but more importantly, lessons to learn to help you grow and embrace your strong girl. This is Samantha Russo. Welcome to the Strong Girl Podcast. I will be your host, and I'm going to be bringing you new guests every single week. This podcast really is all about female empowerment. I'm going to be talking to some incredible women that have gone through things that really could tear someone down, but they have overcome these obstacles, these challenges, these adversities, and I think you are going to be so inspired by the stories that I bring you. But first, I really want you to get to know me, your host, and why I decided to get into podcasting. So my name is Samantha Russo. I'm an online fitness and nutrition coach, and I actually went to school to become a sports reporter. So I don't really know how I got into the online fitness and nutrition space. Actually, I totally know how, and that's really why this first podcast is a solo podcast to kind of tell you my story. So like I said, I'm an online fitness and nutrition coach, but I don't do this full-time. Full-time, I work at a hospital in the marketing department. So I am a side hustler and I like to keep adding things to my plate like this podcast. But I've been super into podcasts. I've been so inspired by podcasts that I figured why not use my broadcasting background to not only share my story that, you know, what I've been doing on Instagram and on Facebook, but really bring my voice to life and also share my friends' stories, share the women that I'm inspired with. I just think it's so important that we learn and we appreciate other women. I did not grow up a girl's girl, and I'm coming to find, you know, the older I get, how important it is to have that strong female tribe. So my story really, and it sounds so cheesy to call it a story, but you know, I think that's just kind of the age that we're in now. We're all telling stories. We're all on these journeys. But my story really is not complete. None of our stories are complete. But the story that I'm going to kind of bring you on today is going from an all-time high to hitting a low and what you can do to get back out of it, to bounce back, to feel better about yourself. So really my trajectory after college was to be an on-camera sports reporter. And where I found myself was living at home as a full-time waitress. So I'm just going to hop right into this. So growing up, I seriously have the best parents. I can't say anything negative about the way that I grew up. My parents were so supportive. They built me up in every single thing that I did. And even if it was awful, like I remember I was so awful to my dad. I remember when I got to a certain age where I knew I was not a really good artist, I would purposefully draw these awful pictures. I'd give them to my dad and he would just be so ecstatic. He would tell me it was like the best thing he's ever seen. And so I just had these incredible parents that always built me up, that always encouraged me and always let me know that, you know, if it's in my heart, if it's something that I want to do, I can do it. And I know that that's not necessarily the way that they grew up. So I really, really appreciate the way that they raised my brother and I. So from a young age, I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. I wanted to be an actress. And I remember wanting to be an actress because I would watch Dawson's Creek all the time. And I wanted to be Joey. I wanted to be Katie Holmes so bad. So I wanted to be an actress. Then I guess maybe when I was like 10, 11, Avril Lavigne came out and I started singing and I would mimic her voice, and Britney Spears, I would just mimic those voices, and then I wanted to be a singer. So wanting to be an actress, wanting to be a singer, natural progression, I started to do musical theater, and that's what I did all throughout high school. And I was pretty convinced that when I moved on to college, I would be majoring in musical theater, and then I was going to be this big time Broadway star. Well, as supportive as my parents were and are, they also had to kind of bring me back down to earth sometimes. And although I wanted to major in musical theater, I was also the first person in my family to go to college, and my parents would be helping me to do that. So to them, the idea of majoring in musical theater was really not the best idea. So I chose something that kind of resembled acting, but also brought in my love for writing. So I went to school for journalism, for broadcast journalism. I went to school in Boston, and honestly, college was the best 4 years of my life. And specifically going to Emerson College in Boston, we got to do so much. We had our hands on everything the moment we stepped foot on campus. So when I went in, I kind of initially thought that I wanted to do the whole entertainment reporting thing. And I quickly saw that every other girl in my grade, in my major, was kind of doing the same thing. So I looked toward something else, something where I could kind of quickly get my feet in the door and stand out. And so that was sports journalism. I'm a huge New England sports fan. So it was incredible. Actually, my junior and senior year, I was chosen to go down to spring training in Florida to interview all the different teams in the Grapefruit League. And if you know anything about baseball, there's the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League. The Cactus League does their spring training in Arizona. And this is actually going to be important information for you to remember when it comes to my downward spiral that we will get into. So, you know, college was this incredible experience, and I felt like I was so prepared. I was going to be the next Jenny Dell. If you're not from New England, she was the a Boston Red Sox sports reporter for New England Sports Network, which is kind of just a local sports station. I didn't even have those huge aspirations of being on ESPN or MLB TV, anything like that. I really am such a local, hyper-local New England fan that I just kind of wanted to stay here. So when it kind of came to graduation and the veil was lifted, I felt so unprepared for the real world. And what that essentially looks like, if you know anything about the broadcast journalism field, you know, you don't get to start off in a big city like Boston. You don't get to start off in LA. And honestly, I couldn't even start off in Manchester, New Hampshire, which was just 20 minutes outside of my hometown in New Hampshire, because it's considered the Boston market. So for me, moving somewhere super far away with the knowledge that I was going to be making maybe $20,000 a year, it didn't sit right with me. And being the homebody that I am, and, you know, having the fear and the doubt of moving far away for the first time, and then also really not making a ton of money to pay off those student loans, was just something that I couldn't do. So I was scared shitless coming into the real world after graduation. I had no clue what I was going to do. Luckily, I mean, I did do a marketing minor, which I didn't take all too seriously, to be very honest. I wish I did. So after graduation, I just moved back home and I worked at a small cafe and I started competing in pageants. I know that is like the craziest thing, like came completely out of left field, but it's actually something that I did my senior year of college. One of my professors, and this is such a funny story because we love telling it and he's one of my dear, dear friends, but one of my professors my senior year asked me to compete in a pageant. He asked me to compete at Miss Boston, which is one of the local titles that if you were to win, you could go on to compete at Miss Massachusetts. If you were to win that, you would go on to compete at Miss America. So at first I was like, wow, this is really awkward. My professor's hitting on me and I'm not quite sure how to take this. But as the semester went on, I quickly realized that he was probably more interested in my boyfriend at the time than me. So we became fast friends, and he to this day is someone whose opinion that I respect so tremendously, and he was one of the hardest professors on me, but I learned so much. So I obliged, I did the Miss Boston pageant, and I actually really had a great time. So if you know nothing about the Miss America organization or just pageants in general, I would say to kind of give them, to get over the stereotypes and kind of look past that, because the Miss America organization is the number one provider of scholarships to young women. And I have never, like I said earlier in the podcast, I've never been a girly girl. I've never been a girl's girl. I haven't had a ton of girlfriends growing up, even though I was in a sorority. But being a part of pageants, it's unbelievable, the support. And you'll hear in a later episode, I'm actually interviewing a few of my pageant friends who are just incredible women. So anyway, I decided to start competing in pageants in New Hampshire because the New Hampshire program actually gave out a ton more scholarships. And really my goal was to earn as many scholarship dollars as possible to begin to pay off my student loans so that I could potentially one day move far away from home and start, you know, this career in journalism that I had loved and had so much fun pursuing in college. I actually got my first like real job soon after winning my first local title in the Miss New Hampshire organization, and that was with a minor league baseball team. You know, it was an assistant position. I was making minimum wage, but it was so much fun, and it really got me back into that good spirit of kind of being in the field that I went to college for. I think we all, when we come out of college, it kind of feels, I don't know if it's a letdown or if it's kind of failure if you're not working in the field that you went to school for and you paid all that money for and your parents helped you pay for. So getting that job was really special to me. So because I did win a local title, that meant I had the ability to go on to compete at Miss New Hampshire. And my first year competing at Miss New Hampshire, my goal was to be first runner-up. I told everyone, I just want to be first runner-up. I want to win, you know, that amount of scholarship money and then come back the next year and totally, like, kick ass. So what happened? I won the title of Miss New Hampshire. I quit my job at the minor league baseball team, and that was really to commit to this year of service as Miss New Hampshire. So I really wanted to commit 100% to preparing for Miss America. And I ended up going to Miss America in September of 2013, which was in Atlantic City. It was an incredible experience. It was the first year back in Atlantic City. It was a really, really special year. And while I was there, I won two talent awards. I won a talent preliminary award and a non-finalist talent award, which means I didn't make the top 10. But that is totally fine. I knew going in I did not want to be Miss America. I am just such a homebody, I think. Like, I just never, I don't want to leave New Hampshire. And the job of Miss America really is to be traveling 365 days a year and being away from family. So I knew then and there that the job of Miss America was not for me. But my goal going into it was I really wanted my talent to be seen on national TV. Unfortunately, it wasn't, but I was rewarded for it. And I won a ton of scholarship money for that. And I will never, never, ever forget that experience. So coming home after Miss America, things kind of slowed down for me as Miss New Hampshire, as it tends to do for many of the girls coming home. So your appearances kind of slow down. I actually ended up getting my job back at the minor league baseball team to kind of just fill my time and kind of, I guess, wait it out until the next competition in May, which is when somebody would take over for me. I guess through my boredom, I was looking for my next opportunity. You know, being Miss New Hampshire, being on the Miss America stage, it's a huge platform to be able to help you to get to the next level. So I had stumbled across this opportunity with Major League Baseball and MTV2 for what is called the MLB Fan Cave. And I actually don't think they do it anymore, but essentially what they do is they pick a fan from each team and they whittle it down to, I think, like 8 or 9 fan cave dwellers, and they move you out to New York City. You're in Soho in this pimped out like man cave is essentially what it looked like. Tons of TVs everywhere, and you were tasked with watching every single baseball game for an entire year. They sent you to the All-Star games, they sent you to the World Series, and because MTV2 was a part of this, they would have a TV show on MTV2. They would have different celebrities come in, they would have different performers come into the fan cave, they would have different baseball players come into the fan cave. So this seemed like the ultimate experience for me. So I applied to the show on a whim in February of 2014. You know, I was going to be giving up my title in May, and it just seemed like, you know, this could be it. This could be awesome for me. So I actually surprisingly got a call to go for an interview. I had been dating someone for quite a while throughout college and up to this point, and we were both very much on the same kind of progression track. And he got a call too. So we both got these calls to go on an interview, and essentially what the interview was they were going to send you down to Arizona for the Cactus League spring training, and they're going to, you know, interview you about your baseball knowledge and I guess see how what your personality was like. So this was huge for us. Like, not only was this a dream of ours coming, you know, a personal dream, but to be able to get to do this together was huge. So when I got the news, I let the Miss New Hampshire organization know, and to, you know, kind of my surprise, my shock, they were not happy. They told me that the only reason I was chosen was because I used my title of Miss New Hampshire to get it. They kept calling it the man cave, as if I were doing something sexual. I get emotional talking about this, because to do that to someone whose dream this was, you know, it was never my dream to be Miss New Hampshire. It was never my dream to be Miss America. But I completely gave myself to the organization. And yes, I did sign a contract, but this was just an interview. You know, this was just an interview to go down and see, you know, could this even be a possibility? After I told the board, I did have an appearance, you know, that night. And Miss New Hampshire typically has a traveling companion, is what they call it. So my event was to go to an opening for a Bass Pro Shops, which is so, so New Hampshire. But my traveling companion didn't speak to me that entire night. It was uncomfortable, to say the least. I was 24 years old, being presented with an opportunity that could change my life. So she didn't talk to me the entire night. We drove to the event together. I did the event, and we drove back, and just not a word. To feel as though I had done something wrong by trying to take the next step in my career, that was hard. We ended up having a discussion a few days later where I was told that, you know, I could go to this interview, which spanned, I believe, 4 or 5 days in Arizona. I could go to this interview, or I could just forfeit over the title right then and there. And I remember saying that I would do it. I would forfeit over the title. I wouldn't be Miss New Hampshire for 2 months until they crowned the next girl in May. And for some reason or another, that didn't fly either, because my first runner-up was competing again, and they wouldn't have anyone to actually crown. Another reason why they didn't want me to go to this interview was because during that time span, I was booked for an appearance with a sponsor. I had to call MTV, I had to call MLB, and I had to tell them that I was out. This was probably the loneliest period of my life, because when you are given an opportunity, such as, you know, being Miss New Hampshire, something that so many girls wanted. You feel almost guilty talking about the negative parts about it. So I didn't tell anyone. The only people who knew about this were the Miss New Hampshire board and my mom and my parents. I called them and I told them that I couldn't do it. I wanted to, but I couldn't do it. So I remember sleeping over at my boyfriend's house the night before he left for Arizona. And I honestly think that was the beginning of the end of our relationship. It wasn't his fault. I was jealous. I felt like that was my opportunity too. And he took it. He took it without me. It was hard. So I ended up going to the appearance that I had, the sponsored appearance that I had. We get there. So it's myself, my traveling companion, Miss Massachusetts, Miss Maine, two of my dear friends. This big sponsor was Citgo Gas. They actually provided me with $500 in gas gift cards for my entire year, which was great. The only problem is I think there are maybe like five Citgos in New Hampshire. So this event was for like all of the Citgo regional managers, and it was their regional event. When we got there, myself, Miss Maine, Miss Mass, we sat in the back of the room and sat through the, you know, the presentation that they give at these types of events. We were fed lunch. We were awkwardly wearing our crowns and sashes just sitting in the back of this room. That was it. They, you know, they acknowledged us and that was it. I passed up an opportunity to go down to Arizona for spring training, to work with Major League Baseball, to work with MTV2, to sit in the back of a room for a Citgo meeting to be acknowledged once. I hope that doesn't come across as bratty, and I know you have to do things that you don't want to do in life. That appearance was held over my head because that sponsorship meant so much to the organization. And then 2 years later, the sponsor dropped us because there aren't Citgos in New Hampshire. The organization, to me, it felt like they weren't looking at me as Samantha Russo. They weren't looking at me as a 24-year-old girl ready to make the next career step. They were looking at me as just Miss New Hampshire. And I remember that being the hardest part about going to Miss America is you were never called your name. You were always called your state, New Hampshire. You were New Hampshire. I remember saying to my traveling companion, I remember so vividly saying, once my year is over, you guys aren't going to care about me. This is my opportunity. And this could be good for the organization too. But it went unheard. From that point on, March until May, I was done. I was emotionally done. I lost my grandfather during that time as well. So it was hard. In May, I crowned the next Miss New Hampshire, and I went back to working at the minor league baseball team. And because, like I said, it was an assistant job, I was making minimum wage, working crazy ridiculous hours, but having so much fun, I had to supplement it with a waitressing job. So here I was, 1 year out of college, living with my parents, waitressing full time, and just having gone from graduating, interviewing baseball players at spring training, being Miss New Hampshire, going to Miss America, to this really dark place that I've never, ever experienced before. So my next step was, you know, what do I do next? What can I do to get myself out of this waitressing job? It was never something that I had planned on being a long-term thing. You know, I was just going to waitress until I got my full-time job. I applied for hundreds of jobs. Honestly, I can look back on my LinkedIn and see all of the jobs I've applied for. I can look back on Indeed.com and see all of the jobs I've applied for. And it's hundreds. I would go on interviews daily, but I would get nothing. And on top of that, I ended my long-term relationship because he actually ended up getting chosen. He got to live in New York City. He got to live out this dream of mine. And like I said, yeah, that was a major role in the end of that relationship. And I only realized that, you know, maybe a few years ago, is that I felt betrayed, and it wasn't his fault. I felt betrayed. I felt like you know, he left me behind.
I was in a pretty low place emotionally, physically. You know, I wasn't working out as much anymore. I kind of let myself go after competing. And mentally, I did not believe in myself. I was in a very dark place until, and I love this story, until one day I went to go get my eyebrows done. And that is so, like, so girly, but really going to get my eyebrows done this one day, and to give you kind of an inside look at what my eyebrow place is like, it is owned and run by someone who is Miss New Hampshire as well. She was a former Miss New Hampshire. Her name is Chris Cosmetics here in Manchester, New Hampshire. And she is like my spiritual guide, like my guru. And it's funny because Chris came to speak to us before we competed at Miss New Hampshire, so before I had won Miss New Hampshire. And I remember thinking she was kind of crazy. She kept talking about, like, vibrating up and high vibes and frequencies, and really I was not there. I had no idea what she was talking about. So anyway, I went to go get my eyebrows done this one day, and, you know, we just got to talking, and really getting my eyebrows done with Chris is like a therapy session. It is something that was so, so needed and still so needed. I don't have to pay for a therapist because I go and talk to Chris. So she actually suggested that I watch The Secret. And it's something that I had never, ever heard of. And it was free on Netflix. So I discovered The Secret. The Secret is all about the law of attraction. So whatever you think about and whatever you give power to will show up in your life. It's all about the ask, believe, receive principle. And at that point in my life, I really had nowhere else to go. I felt like I was at my rock bottom. So might as well, you know, check out this secret thing and, you know, believe in the power of mindset and thought. And, you know, it's insane, but I began to shift my mindset and I began to believe that everything was happening for me and not just to me. Like I said, I really had nothing else to believe in. So, you know, why not just try and change my mindset? And really, the only way to pull yourself out of a situation, the only way you don't stay at rock bottom or, you know, just roll over and give up, you know, instead of using that rock bottom as your grave, you can use it as a springboard. And the only way you can do that is by changing your mindset. So I owe so much to Chris. And I think I tell her this every time I see her. But that moment, I will never forget. I will never forget her telling me to check out The Secret, because that has been such a pivotal point in my life and completely turned things around. Like, my life started changing and turning around in ways, just shifting my perspective. Like I said, believing that everything was happening for me and not just to me. So when I started practicing gratitude and being thankful for all of the no's and all of the perceived, you know, wrong turns, and for all of the opportunities I believed I had missed out on, I ended up getting a job at a radio station. I moved into my own apartment. I got my first full-time salary job, which actually ended up sucking and I got laid off. But because I had this whole new mindset, this whole new perspective on life, I turned being laid off into, like, the best thing that ever happened to me. And I owe that all to my mindset and really just seeing every negative situation in a light that it could actually benefit me. And then I also started competing in pageants again, and that's really where I found my love and passion for fitness and nutrition. And I know this sounds like woo-woo and like, okay, it must be easy for you to say, or it's like magic. It's not magic. This is something that you have to work on daily. It's just like exercise. I actually heard a podcast lately where they called it inner size. And you have to practice gratitude daily. So when you're resentful and you're hurting and feeling unforgiving and just constantly thinking of the negative, that's what you're going to get more of. And the crazy thing about the law of attraction is it does not discriminate positive thoughts and beliefs from the negative ones. So if all you are thinking about is negative and lack and how awful your situation is, that's what you're going to get. You have to get into the habit of flipping the switch, saying thank you to
the red light. Thank you to the person that dumped you. Thank you for being let go of a job. Thank you for not landing your, you know, quote unquote dream job. And don't get me wrong, on top of the gratitude, this whole experience, you know, from being Miss New Hampshire and having, you know, that situation happen to me, it taught me that I needed to start standing up for myself better. It also really made me reassess the people I allowed in my circle, because no one in your circle should keep you from growth or from opportunities that could better your life. Your circle of people should want to see you win and support you, even if they don't necessarily agree with your decisions. So this is kind of where my story, quote unquote, ends, because I'm still going. I'm still practicing this and I'm still struggling with it, because guys, it's not, you know, you don't just turn on the gratitude switch. You don't turn on the law of attraction switch and it stays with you all the time. Like I said, it's a daily practice. It's an inner size. So I'm certainly not a success story by any means yet. I'm still working towards achieving my goals and living a more free and fulfilling life. But I know that I'm on my way there, because I hit my rock bottom and I pulled myself out of it just by giving in and surrendering and opening myself up to the belief that I am in control of my life. I am in control of my mindset and how I perceive my life. So I hope you were able to take something from this podcast, and I hope you return back when I get to interview some incredible women. Honestly, I have such a powerhouse lineup. It's going to be unreal. If this show resonated with you, please, please, please share it with your friends, share it on social media, share it with someone else you think could really benefit from it. Tag me on Facebook, Instagram. You can find me everywhere at Samantha L. Russo. I'd be so happy to connect with you. And thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Strong Girl Podcast.